Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Amen. Amen. I want you to do something. I want you to go to Exodus 22. Exodus 22 and 23 was still around there. Or to Exodus 23. Give me 1 second here, my notes. And I also want you to go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. So those two scriptures, we'll look at others, but those are going to be kind of our basic structure of tonight's message. And so I want you to help me out by going to those places, and so we can study together and see what the Lord would have for us. And, you know, winning is such an amazing thing because everyone likes winning. As a matter of fact, this weekend is a perfect example of the desire of winning. And if you watch anything, probably the biggest game in our nation, the Super Bowl, is watched worldwide, and it's the largest, probably largest event, television event in the nation. And so everybody loves winning. If you see their faces of those who win and those who win as often as the winner did. So we won't mention any names. But so since they win and they win all the time, there's a joy in them for winning. And those that lose, you kind of feel it. There's something about not getting that which you desire. And so winning is a powerful thing. Winning is a powerful motivation. Winning is something that is ingrained in us. We want to feel that we've obtained something and done something in life. Here's what's amazing is that for a lot of Christians, they don't understand that God wants you to be winning in life. That's what his desire, and that's the title for tonight. He wants you winning in life. And when we understand that, God's desire and design is for you to be winning in life, then brings a different focus and a different way of looking at life for you and I. And it's very important for us to know that. Here's something you got to know. We are conquerors through Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. But in order to conquer, I got to fight some things. And that's just the reality. In order to conquer, I'm going to have to fight some things. And a lot of people want the victory, but they don't want the process to be in that level so you can be winning in life. And if you want to win in life, which is God's desire for you already, so God is already there at the victory point waiting for you to travel to that point with him. Are you with me tonight? So he's already there. He's saying, hey, come and meet me here. I already want you to be winning. And so I want to talk about this tonight because these are tools that are so important. Here's how it happened. I think God wants this message for us as this church. On Sunday morning, Pastor Dan brought a message on conquering Christ, on how Christ became the victor to what he did and how he puts that on us, the conquering of sin, everything we do. It's amazing. Then Reverend Beth brought a message at night exactly about that if you feel surrounded, God is surrounding that thing that is bugging you. And so you have weapons in order to overcome that. I believe God is sending a message to our church throughout these messages. And he's telling us something. Hey guys, I don't want you to be broke, busted, disgusted. I don't want you to be frustrated, down and out. There is a point of victory that he desires for you and I. Are you with me tonight? And we have to get this in our hearts. And so for a lot of Christian, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you're in a war. And so there's a war for your soul. And a lot of people feel there's a saying, at least in the Spanish world, I don't know if it does in English, but there's a saying that a lot of people have believed, which is, hey, if I don't bother the devil, he won't bother me. That is so naive. That's so naive. And there's a lot of people who believe that. They're like, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't even watch horror film, Pastor. I'm not in. It doesn't matter. He wants to destroy your soul and take it to hell. That is the reality. And there's a reason why Christ came in order to conquer him, which he did, removing the power. Pastor brought it to Hebrews, removing the power over the fear of death so that you and I can live free, waiting for resurrection in Christ. And so winning in life is part of the Christian walk. And until we understand those tools and understand that we're in a war, a lot of people just sort of travel through time in their Christian walk. Here's a few verses. There's a million of them, but I'm just going to give you two. Here's two. I'll read them for you real quick. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle or our fight or our war is not against flesh and blood. So it's not your neighbor, it's not your cousin, it's not the guy next to you in the cubicle, all right? It's not flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So there is a fight, there is a war happening, and there's a spiritual atmosphere where this is giving. And if a lot of people feel like, oh, well, I don't believe that, let me tell you something. I have never seen so many movies and series, whether Netflix, Amazon, whatever you prefer, about the spiritual world. Have never. There's so many. On the dark side and on the light side. There's, well, it's not theologically correct, but there's one called The Good Place about heaven. It's super whack in terms of theology, but it is about a spirituality, right? And there's God Friended Me, about a guy who's a Facebook page, supposedly God Friended. It is very interesting, right? And there's the other side, whether it be Stranger Things or this witch one or that, whatever. I mean, there's just this polarizing world where people are saying there's a dark world and there's a light world and there's a war. So how can we ignore it? How, when we come to Christ, we're saying, hey, we belong to a place where there's an actual war. So if we're in a war, then you need weapons. Here are your weapons. 2 Corinthians says this, 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare. Wait. It says that we have weapons and it says that we're in war. Are you with me? For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And it goes on to describing that. So there's weapons that we need. And tonight I want to talk about that. As we're winning in life, we want to know what to use. What are the tools available to us in order for us to win? One of the greatest words describing the Word of God is found in the Old Testament, where Moses was bringing the children of Israel through the Red Sea into the Promised Land, and the people of Amalek came against them. And let me tell you, God held that problem against Amalek for the rest of their life. God was like, oh, no, you didn't, boy. And so he was, if you read the Old Testament, God was like, I'm going to get mine because you went after my people when they came defenseless out of Egypt. And so here's what you find in Exodus 17, where it says the word of God that Moses was in a war. Here's a depiction of it. And in order for them to win, Joshua was actually physically fighting while Moses was spiritually fighting. This is very important. Just what I heard. Joshua is physically fighting while Moses is spiritually fighting. Very, very important. Here's what it says. Exodus 17 says, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. Verse 11. So it was that when Moses held up his hand, the Israel prevailed, right? And when he let down his hand, then Amalek prevailed. So we have an action going on here where Moses is saying, hey, as long as I'm focusing God, there's action. I'm winning something. But when he got tired, which we can get tired in our walk with God and in certain areas, he said he started losing. Joshua was losing. So they figured this out. Look what happened. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took stones and put it under him and sat him on it. And Aaron and her supported his hands on one side and on the other, and the other side also. And then it says, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So they finally got this guy to keep his hands up. Look what happened. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So this is something incredible because it brings a principle. Here's a principle. There's a great link between spiritual warfare and natural realities. There's a great link between the two. There's a great link between your spiritual life and your natural results. And when people don't link the two, then they find themselves in trouble. A lot of people say, hey, what I do here with my life has nothing to do with this portion of my life. And so you put in compartment something that's meant to be together. And this is a perfect example of that. Here's Joshua physically going at it. But he couldn't win unless Moses was supporting him spiritually. Yeah, right. And for the Christian, for us, we have to link these two things in order to become winning Christians in life. When we link our spiritual walk to the natural results that we want, something's going to happen. And no better example I find in the Word of God than Jesus. Jesus was obviously perfect in all things, but he leaves us an example when he himself is tempted, when he himself has to go through what you and I go through. And this is found in Matthew 4, also in the book of Mark, and also in the book of Luke. But I like the reference in Matthew today, Matthew chapter 4. And last year we talked about it when we did our our vision. But Matthew 4 is a very interesting angle on how Jesus overcomes this spiritual warfare that is manifested in his physical body, And I want us to look at it and learn from him so that we can win this. Because every spiritual fight, everything you fight in the spirit will eventually be manifested in the natural. I'll repeat that. Everything you fight in the spirit will eventually be manifested in the natural. Everything I've overcome in my life, and there's many more to overcome as I'm alive, I fought them in spiritual aspect way first before I saw them in the natural aspect. And so for all of us, we have to combine these things into our life. We are spiritual beings also. Let's read on. Matthew 4 says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So there is the Holy Spirit is saying, Jesus, in order for you to be an example to us, you're going to have to go through some things. For people say, Jesus can't relate to me. Oh, look at this. He had to go through it. If you're in trouble, he went through it. He knows where you're at. He understands your position. Are you with me tonight? Don't let the enemy lie to you. You can't relate to Lord. Jesus doesn't know. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly that. So very important for us to know that. He was tempted by the devil. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Hungry. Now, that is one of the most craziest understatement of the Bible. I don't fast 40 days and I'm hungry within a few hours, but that's just me. Maybe you're not like that, right? So he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. Now, I want you to pay attention to the word hungry because hungry means a natural need, a natural need. This is crucial for us to understand what God is leading us today. A natural need, a necessity. Next verse, verse 3. Look what it says. It says, now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, here's questioning his identity, who he are, because when you have a need, you become sort of uncomfortable because you can't provide for your needs. So you start challenging who you are based on that need. And now, this is important to know. I know it sounds crazy, but we'll get to it. You'll see. So command these stones to become bread. In other words, you have a need, you provide for it. You have a need, you figure out how to solve it. But first he told them, if you're a child of God. Now, all of us are kids, and if you have kids here, to me, it's my greatest honor to provide for my children. By far. Now, I don't give them everything, but when I do, it's an awesome thing. It's a privilege that we have when we provide for our children. Wouldn't God be honored to provide for his own child, his only begotten child? So Satan challenges his authority, challenges his identity based on his need. Now, this is so crucial because the enemy's coming after you when you are in need. And he's saying, you provide for yourself. This is important to note. And so verse 4, look at Jesus. But he answered, it is written, very important to know the word of God. This is why we invest time in teaching it here. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Oh my goodness. So here's principle number one and war or weapon number one that you have is dependency on God. Amen. Dependency on God. That is a weapon you and I possess. In order to defeat the enemy, dependency on God is crucial. If you become dependent on God, on every need that you have, you will get God on your side manifesting the answer for what you need. And it is one of the reasons why we get in trouble. Oh, no, I got to figure this out. How about you stop and pray first? Instead of just, I got to figure this out. Why don't you go to God first and say, I have a need. You're my Father. Give me a plan. Focus me. Lead me. I need an answer. Dependency on God is powerful. Powerful. A lot of people nowadays, especially in the Western world, we are taught to be independent, self-sufficient. We can do it. But when it comes to spiritual matters, yes, you have the strength, but the strength comes from God. From God. And Jesus said it. Man doesn't live bread alone. There's something that happens when I get the word of God, when I become dependent on his process upon my life. And when I do that, something amazing happens. Weapons like prayer, fasting are very important. How about this one? Love is a weapon. It's a powerful weapon. Patience, it's a weapon. It's a powerful weapon. And so when all these things are so important for us to know, these are weapons that we can put in our arsenal in order to become dependent on God. I won't tell you who, but I have a somebody in our lives that we know. And so this person was explaining to us in a meeting that we were at. And so we said, yeah, somebody attacked them. And he said, I responded with a different spirit in the process. And it just dawned on me as I'm writing a message. That's spiritual warfare. When you respond differently than when the situation commands or comes against you, that's spiritual warfare. Here's what you're telling the situation. You're not going to govern me. God's going to govern the situation. And something amazing happens. Here's how the Word of God says it. Here's how the Word of God says it. Because I love this when we depend on God. Exodus 23, 22 to 23 says, this is, once again, the Lord telling the children of Israel as they're moving into the promised land. But you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. So there's something powerful in it. First you hear and then obey. Then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you. I don't know about you, but I want God to clean the way as I'm heading to a problem. Are you with me? I want God to clear it all out. And I've been in many situations where I thought, man, I don't know how this is going to happen. And by the time I get to the meeting, by the time I get to where I'm going, by the time I get to do the business, God has already cleared the way. I love it. And it's a promise. But here's the promise. If you listen and obey, that's called dependency on God. I remember when I first got to this church, I was sharing with our Bible college students. And I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting in this section, sort of towards the middle. Pastor Jim was teaching. We didn't even have Spanish ministry. I was just a member of the church, a volunteer on the worship team here with Pastor David Archibek. And I remember some words that he said that freed me from something. He says, obedience without consistency is no obedience at all. Never forgot it. I'd been a Christian all my life, and no one had told me that. I remember when he said it, and one word from the Lord changed the trajectory of my life. I said, Lord, I've been a Christian a long time, but I have not been consistent. And when I became dependent on God, all of a sudden, all these things started opening up. Because dependency on God is a powerful weapon of advancement. Are you with me today? Look at this. James 4:7 says, so humble yourself before God. I'm reading the New Living Translation. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But the first action is dependency. Dependency. Humbling yourself means I am going to come under the guidance of God. I'm going to resist the enemy, and that thing will depart from my life. Something amazing happens. It's a weapon that is so powerful when you respond contrary to that, to what the situation is serving you. Now, I know we're not all perfect. I know I'm not. I know I haven't done it all my life. But as I'm putting these things into practice, something happens. Here's a second tool that Jesus gives us. First is dependency on God. Dependency on God. Here's the second one. Applied wisdom. Applied wisdom is a powerful weapon. Sounds fancy. But let me put it this way. It's one thing to have a weapon, is another thing to know how to use it. I'll repeat. One thing is to have a weapon, another thing is to know how to use it. And so that is, a lot of people think they know, but they don't really know. So applied wisdom is something so powerful that Jesus teaches us right here, right here. Look how he does it. Does it so simply and so interesting. Matthew 4:5-7 says, then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. So Jesus is at the very, very top of the temple. At the highest point in the city, there's Jesus right there, right? Verse 6, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, once again, challenging who he is, he's identity. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. I want you to highlight this, because this is applied wisdom. Throw yourself down, for it is written. So here's the devil. Oh, you got the Bible? I know Bible too. Right back at you. The devil knows a lot of Bible. Get your Bible, people. I mean, you got to get on it, right? So he says, I know what is written. Look what it says. He shall give his angel charge over you, which is true. It's in the Psalms, I believe. And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So here's the enemy. Here's the devil saying, hey, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, if you're that, and God loves you so much, go ahead and throw yourself down. Because the Bible says... This is why applied wisdom is such a powerful weapon in our lives. Because the Bible says, this is the devil telling Jesus about the Bible. Because the Bible says, God's going to protect you. Here's the next verse. And he said, next verse. And Jesus said to him, it is written again. So, hey, it also says in the Bible, here's the wisdom. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So here's Jesus saying, yes, the Bible says I can do that, but I'm not stupid. That's exactly what Jesus told him. I'm not dumb. And so what happens a lot of times when we don't have applied wisdom, we do things and then blame God for it. We can't do that. We have to learn applied wisdom in the process. I've shared this before many times. I have no problem sharing it because God worked with us in amazing ways. About 8 years ago, my wife and I went through some financial trouble. Now, I've always been a tither. I've always been a tither all my life since I was a little boy. I've shared this many times here. So on one end, I'm tithing, but on another end, I have a mess in my finances. And so I'm like, God, you said that if we tie you open a window. And then God showed me, yeah, that I am opening the windows, but you're blowing it out of the other window. It's not what he said, but it's kind of the translation, right? So I was like, yeah, that's true, God. What do you have for me? And so the Lord began to teach me some principles in finance. And I began to study. I began to buy books. I began to manage my money well. I began to manage the things I got put in our hands well. And all of a sudden, something started to happen. I never stopped tithing. We started giving even more than we were giving before, and we weren't lack in any way. And the reason wasn't because I was giving. Probably people say I was giving my way out of poverty. That was not what the Lord was doing. I also needed to apply wisdom. And so a lot of times we need both combined in our lives, not only to give because it's a promise of God, but we also have to manage that which the Lord puts in our hands. Are you with me today? So in every way, we have to do these things. In every way. That goes for your family. That goes for your business. That goes for your health. That goes for everything that is in your life. You can ask the Lord on one end, but on another end, you're going to have to manage because not everything you do is going to happen immediately. Not everything you do, not every prayer you get an answer immediately, because the Lord works in a process in our life. The Lord strengthens us. Here I am begging the God to take something away from me, and the Lord is saying, I'm going to take it away from you, but I'm going to build you in the process. I'm going to build you in the process. Here's what he told the children of Israel in Exodus 23. Here's what he says, verse 28. So we're in 23. He told them, hey, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. Here's verse 28. He says, and I will send hornets before you. So once again, I mean, if you're in God, he's going to clean the way before you even get there. Before you even get there. That's amazing. That's a great thing. That's an incredible thing that God can do that on our behalf. He will clean the way before you even get there, which shall drive out the Hivite and all them ites, right? And so he'll get them all out. And so verse 29, look at this. And I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. What? Come on, Lord. I just want this problem over. Here's, I am not going to drive them out in 1 year. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. What a principle. The Lord says, I can't take everything away from you because you're not ready to take what I have for you. Are you following what I'm saying? If God were to drop 8 years ago a bunch of money on me, I was a horrible manager of my finances. Why would he do that? I would have hurt my family. I would have hurt my future. Yet, he walked me through a process, lest the problem becomes bigger for me. I know you're not liking this point because you're going to have to work for it. There's something about it that is important because for you to last, for you to advance, God forms you. God forms you. Here's the next verse. He's a good father. Look, little by little, say that with me, little by little. So it's not going to happen, boom, hey, I'm done, I pray, boom, praise, glory to God, woo, I gave. No. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you. Look at this. Until you have increased. And another version says, until you have the strength, until you've grown in number, until you've increased, and you inherit the land. Amen? So the desire of God is that you win. That's his desire. But not every win is going to come in a moment. Someone is going to need applied wisdom in the process. Let me tell you something personal. I was sharing this with our Spanish service. I share with you a testimony. I believe God touched my shoulder when I was in Mexico in September of last year. And so I just felt the healing of God come upon me. But about a month and a half after that, the pain came back. I was so frustrated. I mean, as a pastor, I mean, I shared it with you guys because I believed it. And as a pastor, I was like, Lord, man, this is crazy what's going on. And, you know, I still had movement. And then I stopped going to the gym because it was hurting so much. But then I was like, oh, I'm excited. And I just said, I have two options. I can let the pain govern me and the disappointment that God didn't heal me when I believe he touched. I mean, I felt the touch of God. This thing went away for over a month. There was nothing in it. It was amazing. And so I just started going back to the gym. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to go back. And so, you know, the first time going back, there's this older lady here working with an 8-pound dumbbell. And there's this humongous guy over here working with an 8-pound dumbbell, but like this. I was just like, thank you, Father. I don't want to look at her. So embarrassed. I was like, man, I can do more. But my shoulder hurts so bad. I can only do an 8-pound dumbbell. Like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing, right? So in the process of doing this, it has taken the last, 5 months or so, going at it little by little, believing, but I'm so much more stronger now than I was back then when the pain came back. It was amazing. And I just told the Lord, I was like, why didn't you just heal me? Like, I would have been busting it out there. And you know what? What tends to happen is we become complacent in a lot of areas in our life. When God removes it, this drove me to go, you know what? I know you have the power to heal me, but I can do something about it also. And I just began to build it in you. I don't know what area of your life you have to apply wisdom, but there's an area of your life where the Lord's saying, I'm not taking that problem away from you. You're going to have to work with me in this problem. You're going to have to work with me in this area, but you'll be way stronger when I'm done with you. You'll be a better manager, a better parent. You'll be a better husband or wife. You'll be a better businessman. You will be better because God wants you winning in life. That's his desire. But sometimes to win, we're going to have applied wisdom in our life. Here's the third one and the last one for tonight. The first one is dependency on God. Second, applied wisdom. Third and last one for tonight that the Lord wants for us is this, a lifestyle of worship. A lifestyle of worship. And worship is powerful. Worship is powerful. That lifestyle of worship is so incredible because remember the story we began with of Moses? Moses just lifted his hand and he worshiped. And a lifestyle of worship is not just music. Corporate worship is so powerful, just like we experienced tonight. It was such a sweet presence of God. I love corporate worship. Oh my goodness, every Sunday when I'm here, I just love it. I worship, I give it my all because it's so beautiful. But you know what? Personal worship is important too. And not just musical, it's a lifestyle. Let me tell you something. You have to worship until you win. You have to worship until you win. You're going to have to worship until, you're going to have to give to God everything. You have to lift them up. You're going to have to hallelujah yourself until you win. That's just the reality. And so worship is a powerful tool that a lot of people put aside, but is super important. If you read the Old Testament, Jacob, he would set up a place and he worshiped God. Abraham worshiped God. All these guys, when a big moment came before them, they would worship the Lord. And so you have to invest in worship as a weapon because the enemy knows it's a powerful weapon. Look at this. Matthew 4, verse 8 through 10. Look at this. Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain. So he overseeing the entire world. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. Remember that Satan is the kingdom. He's the king of this world. He's the ruler of this world. That was the realm he took from Adam. So he said, hey, look at this. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. I'm going to tell you something. If the devil knows worship is so powerful, how can we ignore it? How can we? We cannot. He just told Jesus, he said, I have everything. I will give you everything I have if you in return worship me. Imagine that. The devil is just like, this is so powerful because when you worship, you are surrendering everything you are to the person, image, or thing you're giving that magnitude. So when we worship God, we're saying everything we are belongs to you. Everything I am, everything I have. And the devil knew how powerful that was. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you. Now, before this, he hadn't rebuked them. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, I'm done with you, dude. I'm rebuking you. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Wow. So Jesus makes a statement and says, only one thing deserves your full admiration in life, and that's God. Amen. Only one thing deserves that. Not your career, not your children, not your husband or wife, not your business. Nothing deserves greater admiration and worship than God himself. Amen. Than God himself. And our culture has mixed this. Oh, you can have this in your life and you can do this. And so we portion our attention, love, and admiration. And Jesus said, I'm not going to portion it. You deserve none of it. He deserves it all. None of it. He deserves it all. Are you with me? So do not portion your worship. Do not portion your focus. Do not portion or divide up that which is your full attention unto God. And this is so important. You make lifestyle choices that lead you to those things. I remember when I was in college, I took a very hard decision in college. And so I wasn't perfect. I'm not saying I was perfect, but just like in this church, Pastor, I was always taught it to have a principal in church. I remember there was one class that I could only take on Wednesday night, and I did not take it. And it took 2 years before it would offer it on another different day. But for that time in my life, I felt I needed to make that decision, right? I'm not saying that's for you, but it was important for me. Here's where I was telling the Lord. I was making a commitment to do a service in the church, to be in service. I was helping with the music. And so as a young man, I was forming my life and I said, God, I don't know why I feel I have to do this, but I'm gonna do this. And I took that leap and it delayed me about 6 months to graduate. So I was supposed to finish my career in 5 years. So I finished it in 5 years and a half. Big deal, right? Big deal. Because what I did was I took a personal step. Nobody applauded me. Nobody knew in church, oh, this young man is an example. That's not what this thing is all about, right? But it was about me letting him know, I love my career and I wanna do this, Lord, but I feel you're asking me to make an investment in you this time around. Yeah. And I took a stand and said, I'm not doing that. And I had a friend who was a real estate agent. And she told me one day, she said, I wasn't a pastor then, I was a youth leader. And she said, you know what? She's showing us a house in Las Vegas where we lived. And she said, I stopped doing showings on Sunday. This is what she said. She said, these people will call me, I'll do this. Can you believe that not one person that I show a house on Sunday bought it? And see, from there on, I don't show houses on Sunday. I go to church and go with my family. If they want to buy a house, they got Monday through Saturday to buy a house. So I remember I was like, all right, then I will get the house on Saturday. Now, so it was so interesting. I want to end with this. Psalm 56:9. I love this verse. Psalm 56:9 says, my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This is the one. This is so amazing. It says, this I know, God is on my side. Can you say that with me loud like you believe it? 1, 2, 3. This I know, God is on my side. One more time. This I know, God is on my side because he wants you winning. That is his desire. That is his design. That's what he wants for you. But remember, you have to become dependent on him. You're going to have to make an investment of God. You're going to have to get applied wisdom in your life and live a lifestyle of worship. Then he gets involved in your life because he wants you winning at every aspect of your life. Would you give him a hand tonight if the Lord spoke to you? Here's a challenge I want for you. Just our pastor challenges all the time with our messages. A challenge I want for you tonight. I want you to consider what area of my life I'm either not submitted to God, I have no dependency, what area of my life I need to apply wisdom to, what area of my life I need to make him number one. I want you to think about those things because this message can be great, but unless you put it to practice, it won't go anywhere. What area of my life am I missing one of these things? And then you're going to start winning. Just say, Lord, I want to win. I want to win in this life. So in this aspect of my life, show me what I need to do. It might be apply wisdom. It might be dependency on him. It might be, hey, you need to worship. You need to put me first in this area of your life. And then something's going to revolutionize your life. Let me pray for you. Father God, I ask that we become winners in you. We give our hearts to you today, Lord God. In every area of our lives that we are losing ground, I pray to that you would show us a strategy of how to fight it. Whether dependency, whether wisdom, whether worship, whatever it may be, show us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.